This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm T. Xiao Yik with Juliet Jacobs and Sharmila Ganesan in the studio today. And on the show, we have two stories for you.
Yes, so first, Ingat. M. Indira Gandhi has not seen her youngest daughter, Prasanna Diksa, since 2009, the year that Prasanna was abducted by Indira's ex-husband. Despite there being a high court order compelling the police to recover Prasanna, there have been no leads in the case so far. So we find out why.
And following that, we talk about how design that often centres on men tends to exclude women, sometimes to the extent of endangering their lives. We talk about the whys and hows of this situation.
And on that note, we have a Twitter poll related to that as well.
We do. We are asking you on Twitter, is it important to design products with different gender needs in mind? Your options are yes, no, and it doesn't matter. You can take the poll or, you know, share your thoughts at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 7733-2900.
Okay, all that after Woman by Karen O.
Because feelings matter. BFM 89.9.
That was Karen O with Woman. And in our first story for the Daily Digest today, we are remembering the Indira Gandhi case.
Yes, so it's been 10 very long years since Indira Gandhi actually last saw her very own daughter. So let's just go through some of the facts of the case. Mm-hmm. So this whole legal saga, and it is a legal saga amongst many other things, it began in April 2009 when Indira's ex-husband, K. Padmanabhan, or now as he's known, Muhammad Ridwan Abdullah, converted the three children from his civil marriage to Indira. He converted them to Islam without their knowledge or consent. And that was before he went to the Sharia courts to obtain custody over them. Following that, he actually abducted their youngest child, Prasanna, who was then 11 months old only, from the family home. And Prasanna has remained with him since. The two older children, Devi Dashni, then 12, and Karan Dinesh, then 11, remained with their mother.
Yeah, so on January 29th, 2018, the federal court ruled in Indira's favour and nullified the unilateral conversion of her three children. And this was really a landmark decision,
it was,
right?
It was huge.
And just to be clear, the lawsuit wasn't actually about religion, though many people made it out to be that way.
Yes.
It was actually about whether procedures and legal requirements to change the religion of Indira's children were followed. And this decision, which was made by the country's highest court, set aside the Court of Appeal ruling previously made in 2015, mm-hmm. which had upheld the conversion of Indira's children, and follows the High Court that in 2013 allowed her application to set aside their conversion.
So lots of twists and turns.
Yes, mm-hmm. yep. exactly. And as you said, you know, it's been over a course of 10 years. Mm-hmm. And the court ruled finally that the conversion of minors to Islam required the consent of both parents.
That's right.
So it also ordered that Prasanna be placed in Indira's custody and ordered police to locate both Ridwan and Prasanna to return the child to Indira. But despite doing everything right as far as the law is concerned, Indira says there has been no news from the police on her daughter's whereabouts since the federal court decision in January 2018. So Indira spoke to BFM earlier this month and maintained that she had not heard anything from the police. Here's a clip from that.
As far as I know, only my former legal, that was YB Kula's office, they were sending some letters to Bukit Aman. And there was no reply from them. And personally, they have never contacted me regarding any investigation. So basically, I don't get any info from the police department. I have never heard anything from them.
And in an article in the Malaysian Insight from November of last year, Indira actually said that based on, you know, all the frustrating past legal processes she had gone through, she doubted that the courts would actually take any action against her ex-husband for not adhering to the ruling.
Right.
She was also commenting on the suggestion by the de facto law minister, VK Liu, that she return again to the court to resolve the matter because, according to him anyway, Putrajaya could not interfere with her case as it involved litigation matters by her against her ex-husband.
So earlier, Indira had written an open letter addressed to the new Pakatan Harapan government and the Inspector General of Police, Mohammad Fuzi Harun, questioning their commitment to establishing a rule of law in the country. In her letter, she had also asked why the rule of law was not being observed in her case.
Indeed.
So fast forward to the present. Just last week, a group set up by civil society members called the Indira Gandhi Action Team, or INGAT, held a press conference and offered the public 10,000 ringgit as a reward to track down Indira's former husband. Mm-hmm. INGAT's leader, Arun Dorasamy, said that Prasanna's original MyKit number had not been found in any passport, and they're not sure that whether the child is still in the country. Mm-hmm. Indira said that a check with the Education Ministry revealed that Prasanna is not registered in any Malaysian school with her original MyKit number.
Right.
Ridwan's passport, meanwhile, has expired and was never renewed.
Yeah, so many questions, you know, a 10-year-old girl not in school.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, what's happening? So, you know, the group have actually lodged a report with the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission, or MACC, just last week, alleging that former Home Minister Ahmad Zahid Hamidi, the Home Ministry and the National Registration Department colluded to change Prasanna's MyKid number to avoid detection by the police or herself. I mean, they haven't shown the proof of why they have made that allegation, but they have made a report. Mm-hmm. And Arun also said that the Inga legal team, they're planning to file an application to compel the IGP to look for Prasanna, and he also reminded everyone that Indira had back in 2014 filed a similar application to compel then IGP Khalid Abubakar to locate and return Prasanna to her, but the application was dismissed by the federal court. Here's Indira speaking at the INGAT press conference that was just last week.
We have got the remedy from all the courts: High Court of Ipoh, Mahkamah Rayuan, Federal Court, everything. But till date, Prasanna is still missing. And for the worst case, yesterday I and Mr. Arun went to file the reports. And for my fear, and it is the worst fear that I can feel, that I don't know if my child is still alive. I don't know where is she now. She's not schooling. Then where could she be? And the worst scenario is what they say. There are rumors that she's been abused. And for an 11-year-old girl, it could be the worst. Without her mother beside her, what is really happening? And just imagine her trauma, what she would be going through. And that is my biggest fear now. Where to find her? We have tried to, all the legal remedies is already there. But what else I can do? Where can I go and find my daughter? The IGP really has let me down. Not the first one, not the second one. But what else can I do? I really seek the public's help to find Prasanna. Now, with this legal team, I hope everyone will support with the reward. We can find Prasanna soon. I really hope something can be happen. I'm hoping for the past 10 years, but I really hope that all these ordeals will come to an end, and really to hold Prasanna is the biggest challenge now.
That's really not something easy to listen to, is
no,
it?
Not at all.
IGP Tan Sri Mohammad Fuzi Harun has also come out to say that the Bukit Aman CID has been tasked to continuously search for Mohammad Ridwan and Prasanna, and that they too are working tirelessly to track them down. He has said that Bukit Aman also needs the public's help, but that so far there has not been any response from the rakyat. Today, however, was reported in an article in the Malaysian Insight that INGAT received two sets of photographs from the public, both allegedly showing Ridwan in southern Thailand. So the group are actually going to hand over that evidence to the police.
Yes, so, you know, they've received actually a lot of leads, according to them. You know, people have been contacting them, sending them photos, giving them, not just leads, but also offering monetary sort of support, you know, so that they could increase the reward, you know,
because
incentive at the moment, it's 10,000 ringgit. But, you know, through all of this, you know, all Indira has said many times is that she just wants this nightmare to end. I mean, she is, I mean, apart from pining for her youngest daughter, who she's not seen in like 10 years, you know, she's bankrupt because she cannot settle a car loan, which she says that Ridwan took out in her name. He bought a Proton Wira and then disposed of it while they were still married. Mm. And so she is stuck with the, right. she's stuck with the loan. And she also said that, you know, it's very hard to find a job because prospective employers, they don't really want to hire someone who has been, you know, mired in such controversy.
That's so unfortunate.
It is. It's really. And, you know, so we don't know those sorts of backstories that's happening, you know, with the family themselves
right.
and, you know, how they are taking, you know, her two daughters as well, her two children, her son, yeah. her daughter, even her own mother.
Yeah.
And back in 2017, I actually spoke to filmmaker Nohayati Kaprawi. She directed a short documentary called Diary for Prasanna.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as the title suggests, this documentary is meant to serve as a diary for the little one so that one day she may be able to watch it, hopefully, and understand that her mother did not abandon her and that her family, including her brother and sister, continue to do all that they can to be part of her life. Here's Yati, the filmmaker, explaining kind of the direction of the film.
So this documentary just invite the audience to know Indra a bit more personally, and also the children. And, you know, even for me as the filmmaker, when I meet Indra, I felt so humbled because, I mean, she is such a great woman, you know, very big-hearted. I'm sure she regret what has happened, and I'm sure she's upset with what has happened, but she does not express a bitterness, and she also does not bring up her child to hate the father. Both of the child, they don't express of hating the father or having, you know, negative feelings. Of course, that they wish that the father bring back their sister.
Mm-hmm.
And especially like the son, you know, he's very mature for his age. And he said, you know, if only the father, you know, called them up or, you know, that they go out for lunch and have a discussion, you know, like heart-to-heart talk. And he said that he believes that any problems could be resolved if just sit down and have, you know, a very calm and civil discussion. So for me, like, if the son, if the children can say that, can have that kind of attitude and perspective, why can't the father, who is supposed to be, you know, like, the person who teach good values to the kids? I don't understand.
Yeah, and another thing that Yati said during that interview has really stuck with me. You know, it's about how Prasanna's sister is riddled with guilt over her sister's abduction, and here's why.
Because especially like the daughter, in the documentary, you can see her how upset she was when she recalled the incident.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the father took the younger sister, it was she who was holding Prasanna at that time. So the father grabbed it from her. So until today, you know, she feel guilty about it. As she blame, somehow or rather, she blamed herself for it. And I mean, it's so sad to see a child, I mean, at that time she was a child, to feel guilty for losing a sister. It's not her fault at all.
Exactly. Can you imagine living with that guilt for 10 years just because you happen to be holding your sister and your father grabbed her from you? She is still blaming herself today that, you know, she was the reason for, you know, for whatever reason in her mind that her sister was abducted.
Yeah.
I mean, Indra mentioned that her worst fear is that Prasanna has been subjected to abuse.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think all three children have already been abused. This is human rights abuse
right.
in the worst way.
And the amount of trauma, different kinds of trauma, to be sure, but that each person in this situation is going through.
Mm-hmm.
And for the two children who are with Indra, growing up in this process, this 10 years of the legal struggle and the uncertainty.
Being in the limelight.
Yeah. I cannot imagine what this must be like.
And so that makes it even more amazing, you know, what Yati said earlier, that how they just want to talk to their father. They just want to discuss this like rational human beings, you know, not run away to the southern Thailand possibly and you know, just go against the law and just be an awful person, really.
Yeah. It really seems like even the children are acting in a more reasonable manner than some of the adults involved in this scenario, which is just amazing to me.
Yeah, but I mean, I really do hope there is some sort of conclusion to this, that, you know, now that there's more people, again, you know, that the story is back in the limelight, you know, now that there's a reward being given, hopefully more people are coming up and there's more leads. So, yeah, let's hope something positive comes out of this. But you know, for now, if you do have any leads, you can contact both the Bukit Aman CID and also the Ingat team. And Ingat team can be contacted at 012-6755-327 or 016-711-4252.
Okay, stay tuned. We'll be back with our second story on the Daily Digest after a few short messages. But first, here's I Won't Back Down by Tom Petty on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.